That was true, wasn't it? That's what we're all about. We're a family here. We believe in one another. I'm going to really move into a realm of our series in a moment. But I need to be your pastor. I need to be your shepherd. And as Pastor Dan and others talked about the fear, and during worship we experience what would remove fear is worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're finding that a few years back, a virus attacked the world and separated family and church. Today, we see psychologists on TV and hearing them on the radio saying, as I quote, that if you have family members that voted opposite of you, you have every right to tell them you don't want them to be family members again. It is a last, since COVID, a last bastion of a demonic influence, demonic realm. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about a spiritual thing that is happening, trying to destroy the church and the family. And I will also say, because I'm a history buff, and I have studied history for centuries of history, Marxism, one of the tenets of Marxism is to destroy the nuclear family and to destroy faith. But I want to mark this down today. On the birthday of the United States Marines, the Valley Community Church faith arises and has become larger. We will not listen to that demonic confusion and statements from wherever it comes from. I don't care if it's Democrat, Republican. A matter of fact, the ones that are using that they say are psychologists are still going to school and are not licensed psychologists and have never had an appointment of counseling anybody. And so there are lies that are going out there still trying to permeate your family, your children, taking your children away from you and the decisions that you have the authority and the right by God to make decisions for your children, whether it's education or anything, and you need to stand up and allow that the Spirit of God to move through you, that you take authority of that in Jesus' name. Matter of fact, we're going to do that right now. In Jesus' name, we come against that last bastion of confusion and decisiveness, and we rebuke it in Jesus' name. And you have no hold on our children, you have no hold on our homes, and you have no hold on the churches of the United States and in the world. And in Jesus' name, Valley Community rises up and says, stop and desist and no longer. Father, we give you praise for our church, for our families, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Oh, I could go further, but I won't. I will listen to the Holy Spirit. Again, good morning. And thank you for singing that song. Thank you. I appreciate it. I feel good at 67. I'm ready to conquer the world, aren't you? Amen. God has designed you and me to be instruments for Him. We are talking in this series about living in His presence. And today we want to talk about how we are created and born as instruments of God. In Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, we'll be utilizing these passages. We're going to discuss this and also that God not only created us as instruments, but also we created by his wisdom instruments, musical instruments to be used by us to worship God. Now I want to, today is going to be kind of a question day. My points will be questions, but have you ever thought about how much of a part music plays in our culture? In our society and around the world, how much of a part music is in our worship today, our services? And in many instances, you will find that music is used to worship God individually and corporately. So I'm going to take you back thousands of years regarding instruments and, may I say, musical history. I should have Jack Taylor up here teaching on that. But from what I have studied in Scripture and what I've studied outside of Scripture regarding music and worship, I want you to just really allow me to express something to you that is so vital and important, because what my goal is today is to change your thinking about worship, every one of us. Even if you're Pastor Ryan and Melissa overseeing our fine arts department, I want their thinking of worship to change. Not that it was wrong, but if it was wrong, it needs to change, correct? And so what we need to understand is why God gave instruments and created us as instruments. So as I told you that I'm going to ask you questions, I have three questions for you this morning. The first one is, why did Satan fall? Why did Lucifer fall, if you want to be doctrinally correct? Most believers know that Lucifer was an angel. And when he fell, he became what is called a fallen angel, and a third of the angels fell with him. I talk a lot about this in the end time teaching that I do, and I believe it might even be on Church Center. You can look that up also. But I will use one word explaining why did he fall. Satan fell, Lucifer fell, became Satan because of worship. I know pride is always used when we talk about the fall of Lucifer, the pride that was in him of what he wanted in the five I wills, which we will touch on today briefly. But worship is a better understanding in this series of entering in to the presence of God, and how worship is such a power of our walk with God, entering into the presence of God and living in that presence. But worship, if it's understood wrongly, can bring a destruction of true relationship that we have with God and with others. So in Isaiah 14:12, it says this: how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. So before we read on, let's see again the five I wills Satan proclaimed. Or better explained again is the five things he, Lucifer, set in his heart that caused him to fall from heaven. So there was something set in his heart, even though there were things that he was doing, his heart did not follow what he was created to do. So we can even see that in others, that God created us to love him and to love one another. Remember last week. But in essence, if we do not understand worship and the aspect of why worship is so important, and why understanding it and not walking into a negative satanic influence of what worship is, then what we will do is we'll begin to move into an area like we are now at Valley in worship, to a greater heights, which will in turn cause us to live in God's presence with greater understanding and revelation. So you with me with that? And this is where we're going. This is why I'm teaching and asking questions and answering the questions from Scripture. So we need to understand that what he said in his heart has to do with being lifted up or exalted. Worship is lifting up or exalting. All right? So today, we praise the one that is the most high and most worthy of praise. But watch the words that are used in the passage talking about Lucifer's I wills. God is talking to Lucifer. He says, "For you have said in your heart," remember the heart, "I will ascend." Lucifer, you said this, "I will ascend into heaven or go up higher. I will exalt, be lifted up above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount, the highest part of the mountain." So notice, everything is high. Everything's lifted up. "Of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north," and the north, in biblical north, is up. Verse 14. "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds." Clouds are above. "I will be like the Most High." He didn't say holy or just, but high. So notice what's in Lucifer's heart. And God is describing what he sees in his heart. And this is God's response for him. Notice everything in Lucifer's heart is high, exalted. And then God says this, "Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit." In other words, opposite of height. Not understanding, loving God and worshiping God. God created you to love him, not to worship him, but because you love him, you worship him. Last week's message. Satan wanted to be exalted and lifted up. Bottom line, so he wanted to be worshiped. He wanted to be God. He wanted to be like God. He wanted people to pay attention to him, to honor him. We also must understand in this, doctrinally, we are all born with an Adamic nature like Adam. But we also need to understand doctrinally, biblically, the original sinner was Lucifer, Satan. So actually, you were born with a satanic nature. Don't look at your neighbor right now. What that means is we were born with a nature that wanted to be lifted up. I'll say it again. We were born with a nature that wants to be lifted up. We want to be exalted. We want people to look at us and like us. We want people to compliment us. Now, all that stuff is not bad when it comes from people, but when it gets in our heart, it's because we were born with this, and when we were born again in a spiritual realm, we need to rebuke that and to remove that so that the love that we have for God and one another brings worship to God and we exalt other people than ourselves. Are you following that? So that's our old nature. Now I'm going to use this example to explain it. And I've used this before. Who is the first person you look at in a group picture? And someone will come up to you because they look good in that picture. Isn't that a great picture? And you look at yourself and you say, no, I don't like that picture. Because you didn't like the way you looked. Let's go on. See, Satan always wants to turn the conversation to himself. The Bible shows us Jesus turning to his Father or the Holy Spirit every time. Watch this. You've seen it in the Bible. We're not going to turn there because of time. They told Jesus, we love the miracles you do. And Jesus responds and says, I don't do anything unless the Father tells me so. And then they would say to him, you're teaching. Wow, what wisdom that you have, Jesus. Jesus said, thank you, but I don't say anything unless the Father says it. They say, we love your works that you do, Jesus. And Jesus responds, one that comes after me will do greater works. Speaking of the Holy Spirit. You see the difference between Lucifer and the difference between Jesus. And Jesus is showing you and me the very essence of how we walk and we live in the presence of God is by checking our heart in this area. The more you become like Christ, the more you turn the conversation to Christ and off of yourself, and that's called worship. Worship is you deserve all the glory, all the praise, all the worship. And that's why even though I have gone through the toughest week of my life, I choose today, it's not about me, God, because you are worthy of my praise. And you begin to praise and you begin to worship even before the first note is played. Why? Because you come in and all of a sudden you have your brothers and sisters and you walk up to someone, you give them a hug and say, you're such a blessing to me. You're amazing. And you sometimes even express, remember worship is expressive. You're in the courtyard and you hug your sister and all of a sudden you just shout, I love my sister. And everybody else hears it. What are you doing? You're expressing love. And when we don't understand that, when the picture is about me, what I do, what I have done, what I say, then the reality is worship is becoming contained by a heart that is not the heart of God. So there's no expressive things that happen in the body of Christ or when you're home or driving down the road listening to worship music. Because you're doing the right thing, but the heart, there needs to be a change. So Satan's plan was, is, and always will be to steal worship from God, pointing his finger at himself and trying to get you to do the same thing. Matter of fact, Satan tries to get Jesus to worship him. In Matthew 4, 8, and 9, it says, again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to Jesus, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. See, that's what it's about me. Worship me. We understood that when Lucifer was created, he was created last week with musical instruments in him. And basically because of that, we see that he led worship in heaven. So notice, if you will fall down and worship me, notice again, worship is always expressed. Even Lucifer, even though he's a liar, said a truth. He didn't just say, if you worship me, he said, if you express it by falling down. And what God is saying, the love that we have, Jesus showed that by every time someone complimented him, he complimented the Father, the Holy Spirit, and others. The reason worship is always expressed is because worship is love, and love is always expressed. Guys, try not to express love to your wife for a while. See where you end up. Sometimes we say, well, you know what, Pastor, I'm not an expressive person. Yeah, you are. Yesterday or the other day, the Trojans and the Bruins were playing. And you watched it. And you expressed yourself. All I got to say, moms and dads, your kids are watching. They need to see a real man or woman expressing their love, worshiping God. You know, as Terry and I have always taught many conferences, of marriage conferences, the greatest thing you can do for your children is to love your spouse and express it. So Satan fell because he wanted to be worshiped. Here's the second question. Who created instruments? Satan didn't, but God did. In Isaiah 14, 11, God is talking to Lucifer, your pomp is brought down to Sheol and the sound of your stringed instruments. Some versions say harp. Verse 11, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. And we had taught this before, but let me remind you, is that the tendency is, look, the king of Tyre talking to a man. What is behind what is being explained, what is behind what the king of Tyre was doing was Lucifer. Because notice this, it'll tell us, he's talking about Lucifer. In the same verse, you were in Eden, the garden of God. All right? So historically, the king of Tyre lived 3,400 years after the garden of God. So we know that when he's talking about this, it is a spirit, it's a heart thing. Is behind that is that realm of impurity, of not loving and not worshiping. And so we see that. So let me just say this. There are four persons in the garden of God. Adam, Eve, God, and Lucifer. Adam, Eve, God, and Lucifer. Ezekiel 28:13 says, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on that day you were created. So he was created, not born, and he was created as an instrument. Lucifer was. Verse 14 says, you were the anointed cherub that covers. When it says cherub, is an anointed angel, one who covers as an authority. You had authority in heaven, appointed authority of worship, because I created you as an instrument. All right, now follow this and just really sink this into your thinking. God created Lucifer. Lucifer wasn't born, as some people teach. God created Lucifer as an instrument. You got to hold on to that, because I'm going to say something a little bit later that I believe is just going to overwhelm you and allow you to be charged and challenged to dive into a greater love for God with worship. So there are three ruling angels in heaven, Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. And as we said, Lucifer fell. Let's read verse 14, Ezekiel 28. You are the anointed cherub who covers authority. I establish you. You are on the holy mountain of God. You walk back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. Okay, I can just see the music being played. I can see the worship happening in the throne room of God. You are perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading. Okay, what in the world is that talking about? I'll explain that in a moment. You became filled with violence within and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you, cast Satan, as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. In other words, even though he still was created, still had what he had, that authority was removed from him of what he was created to do. He said the reason you were kicked out is because of your trading. Now, the word trading is an old word, and in the Hebrew, it means merchandising. Merchandising. Now, let me give you a simple explanation of what merchandising is. So you work for a company, they hire you, they trust you with the cashier's box. So someone comes and they buy something that costs $200. You put $100 into the cashier's box and then you put $100 into your own pocket. So you take from the owner what's not yours. Remember, take from the owner what's not yours. So it means that it's not your right to do that. You don't have that authority. It belongs to the owner, and it must pass through your hands, but you grabbed it. Merchandise is it passed through your hands. When you charge someone for something, they pay you $100. You put that $100 into the owner's box. And so what has been explained by God is what you did that was mine, you tried to take it yourself. Worship. You wanted worship for yourself. So that's exactly what Satan did. Satan was a worship leader in heaven before his fall, and the worship must pass through his hands, through music, through all the aspects of what he could do. Can you imagine the worship that happened at that time? But it passed through your hands, you're created to do this, to the rightful owner, God. But he reached out and he took some. It was a violation, and immediately he was kicked out of heaven. Because God is the only one worthy to be worshipped. But remember, God created us in his image to love. Okay? To love. And out of the love, we worship. All right, let's go on. Now, the reason I said he was the worship leader is, again, he was created with instruments. There were three angels, again, archangels, Michael, Gabriel, Lucifer. And there are three pillars on which the church stands or built on, all right? We stand on the word, prayer, and worship. That's everything we do. Once in a while, we may not have, you know, a worship song or whatever. But bottom line, in our services, we have word, prayer, and worship. Every time we come together, we will worship, we will pray, and we will teach the Word of God because it's biblical. Every time you saw Michael in the Bible, he's answering prayer. Remember with Daniel? Every time you saw Gabriel in Scripture, he represented the Word of God. He said to Mary, he spoke to Mary and told Mary the Word of God. All right? And Lucifer was used to rule over worship. Verse 13 again, Ezekiel 28 says, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. And then it says, the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. So he was prepared with timbrels, tambourine, percussion. All right, we have percussion. Pipes, wind instruments. Isaiah 14 says strings. Ezekiel talks about percussion and wind instruments. All prepared for Lucifer. Lucifer was prepared, created for this thing. But let me say this to you. This isn't old to Valley Community. We've taught on this before also. But you have the same thing. So all instruments are string, percussion, and wind. You have percussion. You have strings. Your voice. Your vocal cords. And you have wind. Some more wind. You have wind. But how do those strings operate? You passed wind over them. In order for your vocal cords to work, you have to blow over them. So what I want you to hear is this. Satan was created with instruments, but he fell. Then God created you with instruments. Okay. That was pretty good. Let me say it again. Satan was created with instruments, but he fell and was cast out. Then God created you with instruments. There we go. See, there is more in worship that happens with instruments. And we have to understand that when we have people standing up here and playing their instruments, there is a vital part of bringing us to the very inner court of God of worship by them playing all the instruments that we have up here. In 1 Chronicles 13:8, it says this, and David and all Israel played music before God with all their might. Played music, singing on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on cymbals, and with trumpets. Verse 13, indeed it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord, was filled with the cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. That happened this morning. Let's do that here. Instead of thinking, you know, well, I like this song. I like that picture. I like this song. I don't like that. That song is old. That song is too contemporary. That song is too wordy. That song doesn't have enough words. Instead of doing that, why don't we allow the instruments to do the work and bring us in one accord and shout and jump and clap and stomp our feet before the Lord and express our love to Him through our worship. That's what this is about. It's not, you know, that we're full gospel, Pentecostal, Baptist, whatever, you know. The reality is we're children of God and we express our love to Him through worship. Here's the last point. So what did God do? In Genesis 1:2 is a strange verse. When I talked about creation, we talked through this. I'm just going to touch on it. It doesn't seem that verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1 goes with verse 1 and 3. Verse 1 says, God created the heavens and the earth. And verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered it. God created the heavens and the earth, but it was without form. It was void. Doesn't make sense, does it? Most people believe, I do too, that verse 2 happened because that's when Satan was kicked out of heaven and was thrown to the earth, and he brought the chaos. He brought the chaos. So this is what God did. First of all, he took care of what Lucifer did. He put darkness and the coal, all the different things that he did. First, let there be light. He removed darkness. Second, let's bring form, light and day, dark is night. Stars in the sky, land, the sea, all the different things of creation. Third, let's fill the void, created plants, trees, etc. And then he took care of the darkness, he took care of the chaos, he took care of the emptiness. But one more thing he did that was missing. So I'll slow down here. I think Lucifer had a conversation. And he said, well, you changed all what I did before recreating the earth. But who will praise you now? Who will worship you now? Who will love you? Who will give you honor and glory? Who will be your lead worshiper now? And so God reached down, grabbed a little dirt. He squeezed it. He blew in it. And he said, that will be my worship leader. Furthermore, Satan, that will also crush your head. You have zero authority. But guess what? Satan showed up again to that new worship leader. And the new worship leader just singing and praising the Lord, walking with God, living in His presence every single day in the cool of the morning, Adam and Eve. And then all of a sudden, Satan goes to him and says, you know, God's keeping something from you. It's about you. It's not about him. It's about you. He's keeping something. And they go, oh, yeah? Well, what do? We'll just eat of that tree. They ate of the tree and they sinned. And they fell. But 2,000 years ago, a little over 2,000 years ago, God again gave light to the world, His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what you did. The created image of God received Jesus Christ and you became born again. And what happened is, again, the authority of the worship is in your hands. And if you want to live in the presence of God on a daily basis, then you need to walk in the way you were created for, to love Him and express that love in worship. Let's all stand. When you do this, and you begin walking in this revelation on a daily basis, you will live in His presence. You will express your love. And the glory of the Lord will fill your house. I'm talking about you. The presence of God will move inside you. And then it's expressed outside in loving God and loving one another. and we clap for one another. We encourage one another. We shout for joy when you are blessed, and we mourn with you when you are mourning. We're there for each other. But here's the reason why. Because we are living in God's presence. And no longer is it about me. And when I see that group picture, I'll look at it and say, man, I'm ugly. But everybody else looks good. That's a great picture. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for this house, for this family. Thank you for the families that are extended. Husbands and wives, moms and dads, daughters and sons, grandchildren, siblings. But the joy of the Lord, as we begin to step into these holiday seasons of Thanksgiving and Christmas. What a joy of saying the words Christmas. Thank you, Lord, the New Year's. That we celebrate the men and women who served in our country, in the military, police officers, first responders, the people that are real heroes of this nation, that keep us free so that we can worship you and express our love. Is there anyone in this house or watching online? If you do not know Jesus Christ, very simple. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Confess with your mouth, and you will be saved. And then you start your journey living in his presence. Thank you, Father, for my church family and their graciousness to one another and especially to me. Blessings upon them. And as we come back this afternoon with the Spanish church and tonight in the Bible study, blessings in this house. And we worship you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. See you soon.